Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
You know, the question comes up often, is Israel the church? And the very simple answer to that question is no. I mean, have you ever had anyone teach you, or have you ever had anyone tell you that Israel is the church? I have. And the idea is that God began dealing with the Jews in Israel in the Old Testament, and then continued dealing with them until the first coming of Christ. Then, after the crucifixion, the church replaced Israel. So, to them, the whole Bible is one unbroken account of God dealing with Israel, first of all, as a nation in the Old Testament, and then secondarily, with Israel as the church in the New Testament. Now, there are many who believe that Israel is the church. And they use verses like Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, in order to teach that. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 say this, "He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So they'll use verses like that and say, see there, the church is Israel and Israel is the church. Well, this convenient bit of what we'll respectfully call Bible bungling allows them to put the church in the tribulation. It allows them to postpone the rapture to sometime during or perhaps at the end of the tribulation. And in case you're wondering how so many preachers and teachers and authors are getting fouled up with locating the rapture, you're going to generally find that the problem stems from how they view Israel and the church. I mean, by essentially eliminating Israel, they can, and I'm going to put this in quotations for you, prove that the church they attend is the, I'm going to put this in quotations for you, true church, or that the doctrinal belief that they hold is the, quote, true interpretation of Scripture. They can also work out a way to put the church under the law and claim the promises given to Israel for the church. Of course, men who do this or women who do this are going to, you're going to find them frequently running to the Greek or to the Hebrew in order to get their point out of the Bible, because they're really having to twist some things to make that work out. Now, when a person makes the mistake of believing that Israel is the church, you know what God says about him or her? He says that he or she is ignorant and conceited. Romans chapter 11. I didn't say it. I'm repeating to you what God said. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. "I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." You see the ignorance? You see the conceit? "That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now, what we need to do and what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some scriptures to clear up the ignorance and the pride of those who have taught and those who believe that Israel is the church. And what we're going to do is we're just simply going to look at some topics, and then we'll run the topics out in the Bible so you can see them for yourself. And the first topic is the body of Christ. In other words, when you study the body of Christ, you soon learn that Israel was not replaced by the church, and that Israel is not the church today, the body of Christ. You see, the church is the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. It's very clear. The church is the body of Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right? Now, individual Christians make up this body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you read from verse 12 all the way to verse 27, you're going to see that every person who is saved is baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ and becomes a member of that body. I mean, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 to 32 say that we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the moment that you get saved, you are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Doesn't make any difference that there are charismatics who say that the baptism of the Spirit is something that comes later, like a second benefit, and that salvation is a different thing. No, it's not. When you get saved, he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, listen, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. They don't all speak in tongues, but they're all baptized by the Spirit of God into one body. Now, if you check the entire Old Testament, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that there was not one soul, not a single soul in the Old Testament, in Israel or otherwise, that was ever put into the body of Christ. And you know why? That's because Israel is not the body of Christ. The church is. You see, there's a distinction. Israel is Israel, and the church is the body of Christ, and they are not the same thing. But there's another topic. Another topic is the covenant land grant. You see, God made a covenant with Israel that said, unto thee, talking about Israel, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. You can read this covenant in several places in the Old Testament. One of the easiest places to find it succinctly to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to the 12 tribes is in Psalm 105. In Psalm 105, verse 8 through 12, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. Now, in the millennium, you know what the millennium is, right? The millennium is the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. In the millennium, Israel is going to take possession of that land according to this land grant that you just read in Psalm 105. And that land is the land of Canaan. The locations of each of the tribes and their respective boundaries are found in Ezekiel chapter 48. When you go to Ezekiel chapter 48 and you read that chapter, you are reading the order, from north to south, in which the 12 tribes of Israel will inherit the land of Canaan, and the borders of that land are listed for you beginning in Ezekiel chapter 47 in verse 15, and runs all the way down until you get to verse 20. And then in chapter 48, beginning up there in the north, you have Dan, and then Asher, and then Naphtali, and then Manasseh, and then Ephraim, and then Reuben, and then Judah. In the middle, you have a place for the priests, and you got a place for the sanctuary, because the temple is going to be built there. And Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 describe all of the measurements of that millennial temple. And then south of there, beginning in verse 23, Benjamin, and then south of him, Simeon, south of him, Issachar, south of him, Zebulun, and then finally, Gad, all of them. You know what that is? That is a fulfillment of the covenant land grant that God made with Israel, fulfilled in the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the temple described for you in great detail in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 is built. You know what? The church, listen, the church has no such physical inheritance in that land of Canaan. It doesn't. Now, some of us will have authority over some of the cities in the world. Look in Luke chapter 19. When you get to Luke chapter 19, you find the parable of the pounds, which is different than the parable of the talents. And in the parable of the pounds, everybody gets one. And then one guy, his pound becomes 10. Another one, his pound becomes 5. Another one, he feared God, and so he stuck it in a napkin. You know what? The man that made 10 pounds, the Bible says, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, this is Luke 19:17, have thou authority over 10 cities. The fellow that made 5 pounds, you know what he said? Be thou also over 5 cities. So we have authority over some cities that are here in the world. But listen, our physical dwelling will be in mansions of glory. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what that place is called? New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, the mother of us all, Galatians 4:26, and described for you in great detail in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. So when you read here, you have to read what the Bible says, not what your mind wants to make it say or what some Bible professing scholar says that it says. It says that you and I have mansions of glory, that we live in New Jerusalem, and we have authority over some cities in the world when we live and reign with Christ 1,000 years on the earth. But the possession of the covenant land grant goes to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel, and they're listed for you in their order of inheritance from north to south in Ezekiel 48, if not possibly the church. The question that we're answering from the scripture is Israel the church? And the answer is no. And you can tell that if you study the body of Christ, and you can tell that if you study the covenant land grant, and you can also tell it if you study the temple. You can tell that Israel's not the church when you study the temple. Israel will have a temple in Jerusalem during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, where they will worship and where literal, physical nations of the earth will come to seek the Lord. Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel chapter 48. Look at verses 30 to 35. Ezekiel chapter 48, verses 30 to 35. These are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. The gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 of Judah, 1 of Levi. East side, 4,500, and they're named Joseph, Benjamin, Dan. South side, 4,500, 3 gates, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun. West side, 4,500, 3 gates, 1 gate of Gad, Asher, Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, watch it, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. All right? Now, when you go to Ezekiel chapter 40, and we're not going to take the time to read, and go all the way to chapter 43, you know what you're going to read? You read all about the Lord back here, and you read about the temple. You read all about that temple. You read about its dimensions, its heights, its walls, where the altars are. You read all about that. And then when you get to Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 20, you're reading about the nations of the earth. They bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters, upon mules, upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and I will also take of them priests and Levites for the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. That's literal children of Israel. And the Lord said, as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me. You go over there and read in Revelation at the end. God makes a new heaven and a new earth, and it goes on forever. You know what he says? So shall your seed and your name remain. You know what the name is? Israel. Israel. And what happens? People come there to worship the Lord. Zechariah chapter 8. This is how people are getting saved. You know what happens? They find out the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And in Zechariah chapter 8, I'm only showing you some of the verses. There are many. In verse 20, it'll come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. That's why Matthew, when he's born, says his name be Emmanuel, the temple. It's there. It's there in the land, and the nations of the earth are going there, and they are worshiping the Lord, and they are going to see the Lord, and they are going there to learn. Now, you know what's going on with the church? The church is going to be in New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, all the way from 9 to 27. You read that whole thing in there. And you know what? Just listen. Listen very carefully. Listen. You know what is not in New Jerusalem? I mean, in other words, in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 43, we're reading all about this temple that's being built. And in Ezekiel 48, the Lord is there. In Zechariah chapter 8, the nations of the earth are going there to seek the Lord who is with Israel. And they take hold on the skirt of him that is a Jew to find the Lord in Jerusalem. When you get to Revelation chapter 21, you know what you don't find? What you don't find in New Jerusalem? You don't find a temple. Now, isn't that a strange thing? They say, well, Israel's the church. Israel can't be the church. Israel is in their land grant, worshiping the Lord God at his temple. But in New Jerusalem, where the church is, there is no temple. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's so simple. So simple. When you simply study the differences of things that pertain to Israel and that pertain to the church, you find there's no way in the world they could be the same thing. You learn that Israel's not the church when you study the body of Christ, when you study the covenant land grant, when you study the temple, when you study the priesthood. Israel had a priesthood that came from whom? Israel had a priesthood that came from Levi and included only Aaron and the sons of Aaron. There's so many verses on that. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5, Ezekiel 28, verse 1, and so forth and so on. This same line of priests ministered all through the Old Testament. And you know what? They are even going to minister in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read Ezekiel 48, 11, 1 Chronicles 6, verses 1 through 15. Yes, sir, the Levitical priesthood will continue into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, in the church, there is no such Levitical priesthood. Christ was from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Levi, and his priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7. Following Christ's ascension, we learned, you know what we learned? We don't need priests. Following Christ's ascension, we learned that all Christians are priests. We are a peculiar people, a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am a priest, and so are you if you're saved, and we're going to reign with him as kings and priests on the earth for 1,000 years. But it's not going to be after the Levitical thing. Why? Because Israel and the church are not the same thing. And you can tell it when you study the priesthood. But that's not all. You can tell that Israel is not the church when you study that they, listen, are the enemies of the gospel. That's right. In Romans chapter 11, verse 28, Romans 11, 28, you can look it up for yourself, Israel is an enemy of the gospel. Now, you know that would be true because you see evidence of this all the way through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 5, Acts chapter 17, verse 13, Acts chapter 18, verses 5 and 6, and on and on. They're the ones that are running after Paul. They're the ones that are trying to stop the spreading of the gospel. Yet Christians are saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Israel is the church, how can the church be an enemy of the very thing that saved us and that we are to preach? Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can you see the mess these guys get into when they mess with the Bible? If you force the Bible to say that Israel is the church, and you get to Romans chapter 11 and find out that Israel is an enemy of the gospel and that the church is saved by the gospel, what do you got? Confusion, a mess, trouble. Now listen, in Romans chapter 11, which we've already read, Israel is not always going to be an enemy of the gospel. At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, all Israel will be saved. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, that's Jesus Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, that's those 12 tribes. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Israel cannot be the church, because we, that is the church, are saved right now, and only some of them are saved. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. Some of them are saved. Those that are, you know, that are not in the part, like Paul, got saved. You see the problem? I mean, if you just study the Bible without, listen, don't put your glasses on that say Israel is the church, and so I'm going to go through and I'm going to find all the places where I can prove that. Take those glasses off and find out what the Bible says. And the Bible says the church is the body of Christ and Israel isn't, that Israel has a covenant land grant to inherit the land of Canaan and the church doesn't, that Israel has a temple during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church is in New Jerusalem where there is no temple, that the Israel is back under the Levitical priesthood in Ezekiel chapter 48 during the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are kings and priests with the Lord here on the earth after the order of Christ's priesthood, that Israel is the enemy of the gospel and the church is saved by the gospel. Another place that you can find where Israel is not the church is when you look at the fact that right now there are three classes of people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, we find that there are three classes of people only right now, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. That's it. That's all there are, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Therefore, when a Jew or a Gentile gets saved, you know what he does? He loses his national distinction. He becomes a part of the church, where Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 22, the middle wall of partition has been broken down. We're one man. You know what, though? In the tribulation, we find God dealing, you know what who's dealing with? The 12 tribes of Israel. Read Revelation 7. Here comes an angel with an acorn, and he's marking Israel. Jewish male virgins, 12,000 from each tribe. You know why? Because Israel is not the church. Can't be. No way. One last thing. You could tell that Israel's not the church because of the new covenant. Listen, when we got saved, we became partakers of the new covenant through Jesus Christ the mediator. That's right. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He's our mediator. And we got in on a piece of the new covenant that God made with Israel, but we didn't get in on all of what he made with them, and Israel didn't get in on what we're doing unless they become Christians, in which case then they're in the church and no longer Jews. Israel as a nation will not partake. We get in on the new covenant by faith in Jesus Christ. They will not partake of the new covenant until they partake of it with the house of Judah. Israel and Judah will be one together, and their sins and their iniquities will be remembered no more. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm telling you, Jeremiah chapter 31 is a fabulous, fabulous passage of Scripture, quoted again in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 to 13. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Coming on down. Verse 33, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. They shall no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them even to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And then he says, I gave the sun for light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night. He said, if those ordinances depart from before me, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. That sun was up this day. This sun will be, the moon will be up this evening with the stars, and God didn't finish with Israel yet. You got to know that. People in the church are all saved, but all Israel's not saved. They will be. So listen, these examples we've given you today that show you that Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel, and that the church didn't replace Israel, are just some of the examples. There are more we could give you, but we think you get the point. Don't be deceived by people who tell you that Israel is the church. They don't know what they're talking about because the Bible says they're ignorant, and when they try to force that on you, they are conceited. Just read and believe what the Bible says, and you know what? You'll be okay. Reading and believing what the Bible says with a humble heart, a humble mind, and a believing heart works every time. Just ask the Spirit of God to guide you, and may God bless you when He does. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.